Okay, here's the thing. When compared to Chris Sanderson or Ed Merritt, the two UX designers at Headscape, I am what you call a design dinosaur. Sure, I used to be a web designer, but I haven't really designed an interface from start to finish in, well, years, really. You only have to look at the amazing work that Ed has done on the new Boag World and Headscape site to see what a modern web designer can do. That said, many of the principles that underlie the new Boag World site could be equally applied to the site I launched in 2004. Heck, you can even apply those principles to the site I designed in the late 90s. You see, the web may change at a frightening rate, but people do not. It is people who our sites are made for, and so many design principles remain unchanged over time. Over the next couple of minutes, I want to share with you some of the web design principles that have stood the test of the time, principles that I think are the good bedrock for any good site. I look forward to seeing what other principles you share in the comments. The first principle that I think has survived the test of time is the fact that design needs to be fast. Speed does matter whether you're designing a website to work over a 20k modem back in the mid-90s or one that's working on the fastest cable modem today. People base their expectations of speed on prior experience. So if they see sites like Google delivering pages in a fraction of a second, then they're going to expect the same from you. People have very limited patience when they meet a website that performs poorly when compared to the competition. In such cases, they often end up just leaving. They won't care if the design looks amazing once it's loaded because they won't hang around long enough to see it. Design is about working within constraints, and speed will always be one of those constraints. Bandwidth may change, but how long users are willing to wait for content will not. Google will continue to reward fast sites, and the majority of people will always be using a slower connection than you as a designer. My second unchanging principle is that design has to support content. Good design should be invisible to the conscious mind. Yes, it will impact how we feel about a site, but our consciousness should focus on the content. It should be thinking about the message, not the design itself. As site owners and designers, we like to have impressive interfaces, something with the wow factor. But flashy design can actually distract from your message. Design should not prop up poor content either. It should exist to focus the user's attention on content and encourage the right emotional response to it. My next principle is that design should fulfill site goals. Design is an art. Art exists for its own ends. It doesn't have to serve an external purpose. Design, however, exists for a specific role. In the case of web design, that role is to fulfill the site's goals. Those sites may vary, but they often include things like calls to action. If the designer is not focused on achieving and measuring site success, then ultimately the design will fail. A design can be visually outstanding, it can win awards, gain peer approval, and yet completely fail. Design trends come and go, and we leap on these trends because they are fashionable and they impress our peers. But if these trends don't deliver site goals, then essentially they're worthless. Design also has to be flexible. It has to be flexible in three ways. First, the web itself is a fluid medium. Screen sizes vary. This means that websites need to adapt to these devices. Now, we forgot about that for a while. But in truth, it's always been the case since the very birth of the web. And we need to be careful we don't forget it again if the landscape shifts once more. Second, users' needs are many, and our sites have to be flexible enough to accommodate them. Some users are colorblind, some have got cognitive disabilities, some are just getting old or have broken their wrist, or there are numerous reasons why users have specific needs. Whatever the case, they need the power to adjust our websites to suit their requirements. Our sites should adapt to the user and not expect the user to adapt to them. Third, our designs need to adapt to the changing needs of the business. If the company rebrands, how easy is it for your site to adapt? if the company adds a new product, what impact does that have on the site? What if the organization decides it wants to make more use of video? Will your design accommodate this? The list could go on. Designers need to look into the future and accommodate what might be. Take, for example, Dan Shearman, who built this site. When he made it, he wanted to make sure that the website worked all the way down to 140 pixels in case somebody released a smartwatch with a built-in browser. That's looking ahead. My next unchanging principle is that design must facilitate the user. I've talked about how good design should meet their physical needs, but you shouldn't stop there. Good design should focus on helping users complete their goals. Too often, design gets derailed by organizational thinking. Sites end up structured around business silos rather than user needs. And as designers, we need to be careful about our own thinking too. We tend to fall back on established design patterns without asking whether they're right for the user in this particular situation. In short, good design is only possible when it's produced in consultation with users. User testing is not an optional extra. It lies at the heart of good design. Finally, good design should evolve. The design of a site is never done. Good design is like tending a garden. It's an ongoing process, a process of testing, refining, and iteration. Failing to do this means that your design will begin to date, but it also means that you're never going to benefit from the feedback you receive once the site goes live. When a site goes live, you can watch real users interacting with it. This tells you what works and what doesn't. What other design medium gives this kind of regular feedback? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could adjust the type size on a billboard ad after observing that people weren't spotting your text? On the web, you can do just that, and yet we publish things and walk away. So, those are my unchanging design principles, but it's far from a comprehensive list. It'd be great to expand the list in the comments below, so get posting.